Well, the scripture says it's not good for man to be alone. Amen?
Amen.
And that doesn't have an age limit on it. Praise God. Neither does living in order and following the same rules. I remember when I got engaged not too far back, my chaperones would get worn out into the evening as we were chaperoned on all of our time together. And the fact that you might be mature does not make you not flesh. And so we realize that there's a safety and a way to walk out these betrothals and everything done to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
We're excited about that. We're going to be switching gears and actually moving into a study called The Holy Home. And we're going to take a little while and go back and look at the divine order in the home so that we can be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Because a holy church is made up of holy homes. The church can't be holy if the home isn't holy. And we realize that the tactics of the enemy are to come and bring schism and division. And the way that's done is for there to be strife and conflict and disorder in our homes, and to think then that we can have disorder in the home and come together in one accord doesn't work. And so it's very important that we see that it goes way beyond our own personal gain and good to have things in order. It is for the glory of God. It is for the edification and purification of the kingdom of God. Amen? And so it's beyond us. We don't live for ourselves. We live for God's glory and for God's honor. As we talk a little bit tonight about the husbands and their role in the home, their responsibility to love their wives as Jesus loved the church, and the willingness, readiness, delight to die to ourselves and to lay our lives down on behalf of our spouses, on behalf of our wives, is so important. For you as the head of the house, men, to set this house in order is God's number one will for your life. And if you're praying about, you know, what God's will is, and is it God's will if I take this job, and is it God's will for us to buy this home, and all of those other things, they all shrink in comparison to the fact that it is God's will for you to bring divine order to your homes. And for you to properly oversee and be the head that Christ ordained you to be from before the foundations of the world. How vital that is. And so the love that we're to show for our wives and for our children, men, is to make priority number one the order of the home. You do not love your wife any more than when you're showing the family and displaying to the family, living before them, this divine order which keeps each individual in the role that God created for them. And so we're going to take a little bit of time and we're going to look at the specifics that God puts upon us as the overseers of our homes, and the responsibility to love our wives, to train our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and how we go about establishing this order. One thing we know for sure is this, that it's as Christ loved the church. Amen? And so it's to be something that'll be done always in a Christ-like manner, and it's never lorded, it's always leading. It's not lording, it's leading. It's shepherding. And this is the thing that as we begin to look at the responsibilities, especially for many of our newlyweds, some of our young men who have just gotten married, we need to understand that in this new role that you have and the awareness of your position, you only wear that role properly when you emulate Jesus in it. And when you show His tenderness and His kindness and His love and His humility, then and only then are you overseeing your homes properly in a way that'll glorify the Lord. So let's turn to Ephesians tonight, and we'll go ahead and kick this thing off and just see where we end up in it. But we see in the Ephesians passage in chapter 5, the Lord speaking to us, and He says in verse 21, as the admonition is coming for the purification of the body of Christ, the exhortation, this whole chapter is about holy living and the purity that's necessary in our lives, verses 3, you know, down through 6, and the need for us to walk in light, verses 8 down through the 20th verse here. And He says then, in the midst of all of this preparation for holiness, the thing that will keep us pure in our lives and walking in the light is when we begin to, verse 21, submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We've just done a whole study on humility. The only thing that allows divine order to function in a home is that each individual walks with a humble spirit, is able to be aware before God of God's calling on their lives and His sovereign placing of us in the family unit in whatever role it might be in. How many times have we heard the rebellious child say, you know, I didn't ask to be born into this household. And the fact is, God sovereignly puts you there. Amen? Even without your approval. And so we see that, you know, the disorder comes from self-determination and the independent spirit and all these things that begins to bring conflict into the home. When someone falls out of the understanding, God puts you exactly where you are. Humble yourself and live your life holy and acceptable unto Him. And it goes into the role of each one, whether it be the role of the wife and the role of the husband. How many times the husbands want to abdicate and get out from under that responsibility? You know, many times, ladies, you don't understand the pressure that men are under to know that they're going to answer to God for the order of that home, for being protectors and providers of that home, of knowing that they're not only bringing sound doctrine, but they're living it before you. Knowing this responsibility all the while, battling their own flesh. They need your prayers, ladies. Amen? And so when He talks about the spirit here then of just submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, realizing how difficult the other person's role really is. It's always easier for everybody else, right? We're in the tough spot. But the reality is, every one of these roles requires the same death of self on a daily basis, or it won't work. And so it's not easy. It's not easy for the children to submit and obey their parents in the Lord. It's not easy for the wives to walk in subjection and live in submission to their husbands. It's not easy for the husbands to empty out themselves for the good of the family, when they would love to be fishing or fooling around with whatever else it might be. But to become that provider that protector, that godly example. Every one of us men are called to be able to stand before our families and say, follow me as I follow Christ. What an awesome responsibility. Amen? Amen. Ladies, they need your prayers. And so, you know, when we begin to see how important it is to move in that role of humility and have compassion for the role of the other individual. And he goes on then and he gives some specific statements here. And he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he, Jesus, is the Savior of the body. Now, you know, I think it's important, we'll pause here for just a moment and begin to see this one statement. The husband is the head of the wife. Men, if you ever allow that role reversal, you are out of the will of God. If you ever allow that role reversal, you do not love your wife, you love yourself. By abdicating and trying to get out from under the pressure. We would rather have disorder than have to lay our lives down and bring the thing into control and oversee it properly. And to make decisions that might cause tears and frustration and conflict. But being in charge means you're going to take some flack. Ask Trump. And how natural it is for everybody subordinate to want to judge the ones that are in that role of leadership. You know, that human nature. And so many of us men, we don't want that flack. And you know, so many of us, and we'll go on further in the specifics of this, but you know, we see our children whining and so we then cave in and allow them to have their way, and we'll deal with specifics as we go later on. Or the wife, you know, who's, you know, is wanting to move in another direction and you're setting a course that's contrary to her will and her desire and her preferences. And because of that, you're going to get the sighs and the rolling of the eyes and the tears and the pouting and whatever else it might be. Love your wives. Stay in the role as head. Amen? And represent Jesus properly. And you'll see as we go on, you will then be protecting your home. The scripture goes on and we'll look at it later in Peter, but it says that then and only then can you and your wife come together and pray effectually, and your prayers will not be hindered. Praise God. You'll be able to resist the devil. You'll be able to pray peace and safety on your children if you stay in your roles. Praise God. How important this is. And we're living in a day when you and I are being inundated, you know, with this feminism that's in the world today. We see roles. There are no longer lines, are there, in the eyes of the world? What is this, the gender? Somebody said something about how stupid the gender, you know, X number of genders. I don't remember what it was. It was stupid. Male and female created he, them. Amen? Two. There's two genders. And there's roles. And to be able to stand up in our society today, and many of us, you know, we don't like it and we do, but I want you to understand this is a demonic power. It's insanity, isn't it? And so it's demonic power that you and I are opposing on a regular basis. How do you think that the devil can come and sell this whole nation on this stuff and you not be affected? How much more tolerant have you become? Oh, you don't have to condone. Surely none of us would condone this transgender nonsense and the homosexual philosophy that's being crammed down our throats. But let me just ask you this. Is it becoming more normal? I mean, we're seeing it so much. Is it becoming just a little more normal? And you walk down the streets, or you go in the mall, or you go to a ball game somewhere or whatever, and the last two ball games I've gone to, we've had a homosexual couple sitting right in front of us. It's offensive. It's not acceptable. It is not normal. And so we look at these extremes, and though we don't advocate it, the blurring of these lines of differentiation between men and women are getting blurred. We saw just the uprising just recently with our president's decision of women and their roles in the military. And we could go on, and people could make arguments on both sides, and I'm not even going to speak to any of those things specifically. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. The head of the woman is the man. Amen? Hallelujah. That baby's settled. Now, doctrinally, every one of us in here are settled on that. But what about practically? How do you walk it out? Men, have you with delight assumed your role of responsibility? Do you realize that God, from before the foundations of the world, foreordained you into this area of responsibility? It is not a small thing, as we'll see in Scripture here in just a moment. It robs the glory of God, the Scripture says, for you to abdicate. It is an abomination to come into this house of worship with your head covered, is what the Bible teaches. All that's saying is, it is a sin, it's an abomination in the eyes of God for you to come in here henpecked. I'll just use some common terminology. For you to be subject to the big fat Greek wedding comment. I love that. The woman says, yes, my husband is the head, but I'm the neck, and I turn it whichever way I want. If your neck is turning you, it's a sin. You don't love your wife. You don't love your children. You love you. You can't break the order. God doesn't allow you to step down from this role. Look over to Corinthians for just a moment, and in Corinthians 11, it's spoken of so specifically. And we've been talking now for weeks and weeks and weeks about how vexed we are, and so many of us go, no, I'm not that affected by it. I'm not affected by the world and their philosophy and their ideologies, and I can go out into their midst, and I live in Sodom, I'm not a Sodomite. But in reality, he was a Sodomite, wasn't he? He sat at their gates. He loved the same thing they loved, the prosperity and the idleness and everything else that made Sodom, Sodom. It was so much a part of his heart. And beloved, as we stand and share the word with you week after week, my heart at times is grieved. I look at my own life and I ask myself the question, how many of us is it going to take angels to grab us and pull us in this last day out of this place? How many of us have the heart of Lot's wife that if God was to really take this all from us, we would look back? And so we've been asking that question. And if there is this deterioration within the community, within the church, and we don't do something about it, what hope is there for the next generation? If we allow, and we'll be speaking of some of these things in specifics, but if we begin to allow to creep back into our midst whatever secular form of child rearing and correction that's floating around out there today in churches and using Christian jargon to promote humanism and Freudianism and throw a couple of verses on it. The Bible tells us how to raise our children. Amen? Amen. The Bible tells us how to deal with disobedient and rebellious children. The Bible does not give place for mothers to get between the Word of God, the Lordship of Jesus, the administrator of His will in the home, and try to protect the children somehow from justice and righteousness and truth, the application of the Word of God. And many of us here in this fellowship, we've gone back into, we want to have timeouts and we want to have conversations ongoing and instruction with little people that really are not even capable of comprehending biblical truths. The scripture is very clear on how to set course, to bring correction. It's very clear, men, and we'll look at it some tonight, the attitude that it's done in. And it's done in love, and it's done in tenderness, and it's done with gentleness. But the world system is at enmity with God. Well, we want to just include some of the world's methods. We still, if we're really forced to it, we will do it God's way. But we try these other ways on things that are, in our judgment, not as offensive. And so we'll use other secular means to give direction to our children. Men, we're talking to you tonight. We're talking about you loving your wives and loving your children and the responsibility to set course and represent God in your home and to do it in the character of Jesus. Amen? But if we're not clear, if the world, if these lines of demarcation are getting blurred, if order's being broken in the home, if there are role reversals that are taking place, then the Holy Spirit's not able to move effectively in our lives. And so when we talk about the head of the woman being the man. Because of society today, and you know, it's just, I've talked about it often, I won't get off on it too far, but I mean, to me, if you listen today to children talk, the disrespect for their fathers. Day after day, they listen to their mothers talking about how inept their husbands are. And how poor of a provider they are because they don't make the money the guy down the street makes. And we could go on and on, and we see it in the commercials on TV. The husband is always made to be the idiot. Saw one the other day, you know, the idiot shows up and the wife had discovered some great way to invest her money and make all this money, but the idiot hasn't been able to do that for how many ever years this, the union was there. And, you know, and you go back years ago, and I made comment in a session not long ago about A Wonderful Life, and when the boy had gotten poisoned in that movie, and he looks up and on the wall is that sign, Ask Dad. And how fathers were represented in those days. We're going to see as we go on into the study how is it working in this order in the home to where ladies, you're like Sarah, and you see your husband as Lord and call him Lord in so many ways. You may not use that word, but the respect, the love, the honor that's to be given to this God-ordained order in the home. And if it's not a hard issue, if it's just doctrine, if it's just machinery, then we haven't yet tapped into by faith true spiritual obedience to God. There is no faith involved in this union and in this home, and God's not able to move in our midst. And so because again of this feminist movement, how many of you ladies are almost embarrassed to tell somebody, well, I need to check with my husband, instead of delighting in it, boasting in it? And we have terms in our society today, you know, the glass ceiling and all of these sayings, and women finally getting their proper role in society. Women have no proper role in society. God has ordained women to oversee the home and take care of the family. That's their role. That's the God-given purpose of a woman. And there is no higher calling, if you believe the Bible. Now, we say we believe the Bible, but we have been so vexed that this is so normal that for us to even try to think that way, we're like, yeah, but there are no 21st century American clauses that let us think any differently. Yeah, but it's so normal. Let me remind you that women's suffrage is a very new thing. Amen? It just happened not many years ago. Women's right to vote, it was just a few years ago. And look where we are today. Pastor, are you against women? No, I like women. I'm on your side, ladies. I've told you that all along. I'm on your side. You don't find many men that'll stand up and represent the Word of God and stand and champion the cause of order in the homes so that godly men will raise up and wash their wives with the washing of the water of the Word and raise godly, holy, pure children for the next generation. It's not popular. It's just the truth. Now see, when I make the statements like I just made about the women's role, and they say, some of you, your heads are tilting. You are. You're going, that can't be. That's extreme. That can't be right. It is so biblically pure and simple and right and is beyond confusion. What's your problem? What is your problem that you can't hear that? No, but that was only for the first century. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The doctrine hasn't changed. The purpose of a woman has not changed. Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make you a helpmeet. And we can go into Genesis 3 and we look at those different principles, and we don't necessarily have to digress that far. And so out of Adam, we find that God reaches in and he pulls from his side this woman, his rib, Hebrew Neged. This woman comes out. We've talked about it many times before, that Hebrew word Neged. It means, you know, we all know what a negative is. That's why everything we deal with, and it will go on forever, every time you and your husband sit down to talk, you're coming from two different sides. And it never stops. We've talked before to you men, you know, sit there, and so many times we're sitting there and we're dealing with our woman, our wives, and we're going, stop being so emotional. Why are you, just be reasonable, be rational. Be a man. God doesn't want you married to a man. He wants you married to a woman. He wants you to have that feminine perspective. And without it, you're not going to come to the right conclusions. Men, you will not arrive at truth on your own. You need your wife. And she's been placed in a position of subordination to you, and you are her head. And we're going to, in the next 30 minutes, deal with how you treat that individual with respect and with love and with gentleness and with tenderness. And you treat her as the weaker vessel. And remember, we've shared so many times, weaker does not mean inferior. In so many ways, in relationships, some of the wives are far more capable than the husbands. More capable of handling, different specific tasks, whatever it might be. Maybe more skilled in being able to understand and even deal with the aspects of economics. The wife might be more disciplined in those particular areas. The wife might have a higher IQ. The wife might have more skills. You're the head. Amen? Has nothing to do with giftings, capabilities. It has to do with call and placement sovereignly of the Holy Ghost. And so as we arrive at this aspect of headship, Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Hallelujah. There's our safety valve. Amen. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. If Jesus is fine with having a head, what's your problem? Amen? Amen. And so we see him bringing about divine order. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, who's the man's head? What did we just say? Who's the man's head? Christ. So if we come and pray and prophesy, look what he says. But has our head covered with something other than Christ, does what? Dishonors his head. Now, these are not talking about physical coverings. We'll see that as we go on. This isn't talking about when you go to Jerusalem and you go to the Wailing Wall and you put a little yarmulke on your head. It's not talking about going up north and visiting the Mennonites and having a French fry basket thing on your head for the ladies. It's not being a Catholic and having a little doily on your head. It has nothing to do with that. When we read through this passage, I just want you to understand what's being said here. Women cannot come into the church and properly minister to God when they're out from under the covering of their husbands. When the house is out of order. When divine order is not being lived on a daily basis. When self-rule, self-determination, manipulation, discontentment is at work in the heart. You're coming in here and your head's not covered. Men cannot come and minister and prophesy when the home is out of order, and other than Jesus, their head, Jesus is your head, not your wife. And so he speaks and he goes on, and we'll look at it here. It says, every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, her husband. For that is even as if she were shaven. You can go over to Deuteronomy 21:12. You can go down to Numbers 5:18 and look at a couple of these things that have to do with having your head shaven and shorn and what they were. And at times they were disciplines. At times they were representations of prostitution and judgments and these different aspects. But Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is referring back to these things. And talking about being under judgment and talking about being impure if divine order is not working in your home. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, we're establishing these rules and this order for a purpose. Men, to see that God has supernaturally, sovereignly placed these women under you And you better love them properly. And you better honor and give them what is due as the weaker, vulnerable vessel. There's no place for verbal abuse. There's no place for disrespect, devaluation. There's no place for abdication. Well, I'm the head, I'm the administrator, so you load your wife with everything to do. From paying bills to washing the car to shaving the dog, watching the kids. And we'll look at some of these specifics and practical things as we go on in the study, but we just want to see the order here and how clear it is. Realize one thing, verse 9, the man was not created for the woman was created for the man. And for this cause ought the woman to have power, epi in the Greek, to be over, to have a covering, something over her, because of the angels. And so, as we look at this, and I don't want to belabor this part of it any longer, we see the divine order. Let's go back to Ephesians again, and we see then that it says, the husband is the head of the wife. And that's pretty established, we see here in Genesis 3, and here in Corinthians 11, here in Ephesians chapter 5. And so as the husband takes his role as head, he says, verse 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. What's the next phrase? In everything. And so there is no segment of this relationship to where the wife is on her own. Well, I've just given that to my wife to do. It's fine to delegate. It is not fine to leave your wife uncovered. Because of the angels. Because of the demonic powers. The man was not deceived. The woman was deceived. Isn't that what the Bible says? This judgment that came down from the original sin still has consequences. We'll go into the epistles in a little later, and we'll look at church order somewhat, and we'll begin to see that the whole Mother Eve demonic powers of seduction are still in place. And the greatest, ladies, the greatest vulnerability in your life is to be a usurper. It's in every one of you. A manipulator. The neck. Oh, you will gladly call him head as long as you can turn it whichever way you want. It's Bible. What are you going to do with it? And tragically, the consequence of original sin has working in every man that's in here today, the propensity to abdicate, to bail out, to blame shift. And so as the Holy Spirit is speaking here and he says that you are subject in everything is for your protection. Not that you can be lorded over, that you can be protected from all of these spiritual demonic forces that are going to try to bring disorder into your home and into your life. That are going to try to make you Eve. And so God's protecting you and he's put this covering over you called a godly man. Don't you exist for him in the first place? Did we just read that in 1 Corinthians 11? Boy, this would be hard to sell on the streets, wouldn't it? It's so simple here in the church where we all believe the Bible. It just said that. We just read it. The woman was made so all the men are like, yeah. Wrong spirit. The woman was made for you because you needed help. Amen? Oh. And so we then see as he goes on here, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, he says the wives then are to be subject in everything. Now, husbands, I want you to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Your first responsibility, men, is to pour yourself out on behalf of your wife. To give her every bit of your ability, your energy, your attention, your affection. Amen? Because she is God's gift to you. It wasn't good for man to be alone. And so as we look at these responsibilities and we say, okay, how do I love my wife? Fulfill your role. Look what it says. Sanctify her. Cleanse her. By living before her the word of God. By requiring of her obedience to the word of God. By constantly reminding her that she is a peculiar person set off by boundaries. God has given her a role and making sure that she functions within it to the glory of God. Because to get out from under that covering is to bring dishonor to God. To deny the glory. To be Mother Eve, to be a usurper. And so one of our jobs and the greatest expression of our love to our wives, men, is to help them to continue to walk in that role to where they can be safe. And it's not always received with open arms. I know it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes, periodically, our wives can be in the flesh. And the Bible's very clear about that, isn't it? The flesh lusts and wars against the Spirit. The flesh isn't always ready to hear the Word of God and go, oh yeah, praise God, thank you for sharing that with me. Amen. You're the head, Lord. Please don't present it that way. I'm the head. You're nothing. Right? Remember Ralph Crampton? Honeymooners? Some of you are going, what? Black and white TV? I'm the head. You're nothing. Big deal, Ralph. You're the head of nothing. Does Jesus go around telling you and I all the time, I'm the head? What does Jesus do? He takes on an apron and washes our feet and loves us and humbles himself. But the standard never changes. And the order never changes. Amen? Amen? And so as he's coming through this particular part, he says, so that he might present it a glorious church. Remember the title of tonight's message, A Holy Home. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what your house is to look like. That's what your children are to look like right there. That's your wife right there. Glorious. Without spot or wrinkle. Holy. We know the scripture goes on and says unblameable. Amen? That's your sole responsibility. That is your first priority in life, to create that home. Your job is way down on the list of importance. We'll be dealing with that aspect pretty soon, husbands. You know, there's way too many. It's pretty natural in men. Men get a lot of their self-worth out of their work. It's vanity. Your work, your job is nothing. It is worthless. It has no value at all from an eternal perspective and in the kingdom of God. Amen. Period. And no worth will be obtained through it. When you stand before the Bema judgment, your job is not going to come into discussion unless it's brought reproach on the kingdom of God, unless it's been those things in your life that need to burn up because of its disorderliness. Your job is a consequence of the curse. You live by the sweat of your brow because sin dominates this planet. And that's all your job is. And all it is a vehicle for you to bring home a little bit of bread and a little bit of water for your family. And having food and raiment are absolutely content. And so as we begin to see it from the eternal perspective and from the biblical perspective, then if this job is sucking up so much of our time and our energy that we can't put ourselves full time into this woman, if we can't love her properly, we're talking about laying our lives down. We'll see, as Jesus died for the church. If you can't come home from work and sit down and listen to your wife for a little bit, then you're having too much taken out of you throughout that day. Because number one is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Amen? Oh, I had such a hard day. It's horrible. Oh, I worked so hard today. You don't have a clue what it is to stay home with those kids, man. Your job is a piece of cake. Need I say the time necessary to prepare to call you Lord when you come home? Amen? That's a full day's job. Man, I'd love to teach this at Berkeley. I'd need the Pope's little car to ride around in, you know? You share these things tonight and these people would look at you like you're an alien. We are. We're pilgrims, praise God. We're just passing through this place. This is not our home. Amen? But I've seen some strange looks in some of you tonight as we've talked about a couple of these issues that are not going to go away. You're going to have to come to grips with this stuff. It's not going to go away. He is purifying. He's preparing his church. You've got to deal with this stuff. In preparation for the coming of Jesus. And as we looked at the thing tonight of that role, the responsibility we have. So men, you are to love your wives as your own bodies. Now, some of us are more, you know, it's amazing, you know, how some of us treat our bodies. Some of us are so conscious of every little pain and every little, you know, resistance and every, you know, others of us are just kind of like, we'll hurl our bodies around and tear them up and you'd pay a price later, but, you know. But something here, the Holy Ghost is saying, is innate within us. That we want to make sure this body gets fed, gets rested. A massage is nice. I mean, should a Lord receive anything less? But as he makes reference, and we'll end with this tonight, as he makes reference to loving our own bodies, he's trying to get us to see now that we are one, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. Amen? Man, there's so many places to go. My mind's just going everywhere. But, you know, I think about a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. Amen? Men, the divine order. You are the head of your house. Yes, there are patriarchal responsibilities, but your father does not run your house. Amen? You're responsible to set course. You're responsible to hear from God. You're responsible to care for your wife and to provide and teach and train up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, your children. There may be times, men, when you have to stand up. And you may have to stand up to your parents, and you may have to stand up to her parents. But be assured of one thing. When you assume headship of your home, you are in biblical order. Amen? And mom and dad, patriarch, matriarch, is there to assist, to counsel, but your head. And in this process, you may have to be, as head, dismantling some of the other ties, traditions, preferences, convictions of one side or the other, because the reality is this. You have left father and mother, and you are cleaving one to another, and you are bone of bone and flesh of flesh, and there is no closer relationship that will ever be than husband and wife. And that goes for children. And so as we look at the holy home and we see the order that comes into these things, if we can get it in order, God can bless us, praise God. He can build that hedge around us, around our children. He can begin to promote us in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. So we see this responsibility. Let me give a two or three quick definitions here, and then we'll unhook for this evening. They're just so much. When the scriptures talks about loving your wife as your own body, and he goes on and says, no man ever hated his own body. We know that that word there is a loving of lust or a detesting. But in fact, it says that he nourishes it. That word nourish is a very interesting word. You know, when we're to nourish our wives, because we're to respond to them and value them as our own bodies, that's the context. The word nourish means to cherish, to train, or to rear to maturity. It's a process. There's a goal that we're trying to attain. He nourishes it. He cherishes it. That word cherish is to brood over. Husbands, we ought to, just like a hen does her chicks, we brood over our wives. We protect their spirits. We protect their tender hearts. We don't allow them to be exposed to all the vileness that's in this world today. This is a nasty world. We're to do everything to protect our wives' minds and hearts, to keep them pure, to keep them innocent. It means to warm, to caress. And by the way, that should be literal also. Give your wife attention, hugs. Well, you know, it's not my nature. Well, change your nature. Amen? Well, you know the way I was raised. Yeah, the way you were raised was wrong. Amen? Hug your wife. Love your wife. Caress your wife. Show her affection. That's what these words mean. This isn't a suggestion. And I know, and there's a number that we've dealt with that would take that saying, well, that's just not my nature. That's not how I was raised. You know, we're this culture or we're this nationality or whatever it might be. I don't care. You're born again. You're a new creature. These are the rules. Amen. Amen. And so just show her the affection and the care and the warmth that cherishing, that brooding over, how vital it is. Hallelujah. Well, we've got about 25 hours more, so we'll quit. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to just speak to us by your Spirit, and as we prepare our hearts to hear your word, we just thank you for the truth. We thank you for your love for us and for the families, Father. We as men ask you to prepare our hearts now to hear what the Holy Ghost would speak to us, that we could better represent you, Jesus, that we could better love our wives, that we could better protect them and our children, that we could set a course that has eternal consequences, that will bring forth fruit, will bring forth glory to the kingdom of God. Father, free us from the vanity of this life and all of the lies of this society that tell us what a successful parent is providing a better education, more stuff, and all that goes along with secularism. Father, help us to see that there is nothing that is acceptable to you than us fulfilling this role for your glory, for the sanctifying and cleansing of our spouse, and for the nurturing of our children. And for that, Father, we'll give you all the praise and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, before we go, turn to somebody and say, he's looking for a holy home. Praise God.